listen to a pretty alright podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jim Swag, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most alright in the industry today.
And that's... Whoo! It's the Game Raven Wrestling Podcast. Back everybody to a brand new episode of Game Rage Wrestling. My name's Josh. I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, and this is the no curse minute. Emphasis on no curse, no cursing. So yeah,
the no curse minute sponsored by our good friends at Game Rage Magazine, where you can go and see all of the things that they talk about and post in their non-existent magazine because they don't actually have one. But they wanted to sponsor this, so we said, yeah, sure, shut up and give me your money. Anyways, so today we're going to talk about what we believe is the future of wrestling. We've had the first Raw post-WrestleMania. Some good things going on, some bad things going on, in my opinion.
I think it's all bad. I think regardless of what good things happen on Monday Night Raw, who gives a shit? But you can
sure
give your take.
All right. So... to me, the best thing that has come out of this WrestleMania horseshit has been this new faction that I predicted would be entering into the fray. Something with Seth Rollins, obviously Paul Heyman. And now Bron Breakker has been added to the mix, which I think is fucking great. I think this is going to be excellent for Bron Breakker's career. I think he's going to fucking do great things. And I think this is just one step on the rung of his trajectory to the top.
I think this was a great like sidestep without having him be in the main event title picture yet, like adjacent,
yeah,
lingering around,
but it forces him to now stay below the main event title picture, which I've said this was too soon to put him up.
Yeah.
When he dropped the belt, well, he didn't technically lose the match, but when the belt was taken from him at WrestleMania, I said, okay, let's not fucking put him in the main event. Please, let's not put him in the main event picture because that is going to be a mistake. I think that's the mistake they made with Gunther, and I think that's the mistake that they realize, okay, maybe we need to take a step. We need to dial it back, and we need to do something that will elevate him, and as you said, a great sidestep, because now he can get... he's likely going to be... if we're looking at this as like an evolution type stable, which I think that's what it's going to be, Seth Rollins is Triple H. Bron Breakker is like
Batista.
The Batista. We need... there's going to be someone they're going to bring up either from NXT that's going to be like the Randy Orton character. I do think that's going to be probably, in my opinion, All Ego Ethan Page. I think they're going to bring him up and they're going to fucking insert him into this stable because... He's decent at wrestling. His mic skills are not that great, but you don't need him when Paul Heyman's your fucking spokesman. All right? You can learn from Paul Heyman, and that's going to be a great experience for these assholes that are going to be fortunate enough to be in this group. They're going to learn from Paul Heyman, just like Batista and Randy Orton learned from Ric Flair and Triple H. I don't know how much wisdom fucking Seth Rollins has, but they're going to all be learning from Paul Heyman. All right? And I think we're also maybe going to likely see Karrion Kross possibly join into this stable.
I don't know, dude. I think he's either going to be fired by Friday, which would be tomorrow, or he gets the biggest push in his life.
They just brought him back. Like, he just came back. How are you going to fire the dude when he just came back?
Because
they're going to pay him to sit at home then, because he's on a contract. Like, they'll pay him to sit at home.
That shit that he said within that... what was it for? Was it like a
just some podcast?
Some podcast. Right. Okay. So everything he said on that podcast was like off the cuff, man. And I think he possibly endangered his career, but I think he cut the best real promo for himself, and hopefully people see him. And he probably is that guy. I mean, he looks like your prototypical like main event wrestler. He obviously cut that pretty fucking decent promo, which he's capable of doing, but he got put in all those stupid fucking stables, like the Final Testament or whatever, that stupid thing with the Authors of Pain, and that shit was stupid as fuck. But Is it possible for him to be a main eventer? I think he absolutely could, and maybe more so in AEW than WWE. But I think he's either going to be fired tomorrow or he'll get his due. Because remember Triple H kind of had that experience when with the click?
Yeah.
And he it wasn't something that was directly related to content of like WWE. He did some type of interview, and within that conversation, he actually did the I am the game, like I am that damn good and all that shit. That was him in, you know,
yeah,
that was him shooting or whatever, saying real shit. But that was the point in which like his catapult or his career catapulted or whatever. So can Karrion Kross like get that kind of rub out of that situation? I don't fucking know.
I think he can, but I don't think they're going to let him, because I don't think, as I said, WrestleMania, post-WrestleMania, I don't think Triple H is really running the show. I think that Triple H is more of the interface between the boys and the corporation that is now the WWE. And I don't think he really gets a lot of say. I think they let him do some things, but I think the main shit is coming from above, and it's all about recouping our money. That's all they're interested in. And that was evident at WrestleMania, and I think that's going to be evident going forward. I think that they need to create good storylines, and that's likely maybe the only reason we're going to get anything is because they're like, all right, we finished off some of these storylines. Like, what the fuck do we do now?
I have something to say, because I feel like for a company like Netflix or even Peacock, or for the people that have a stake in what the success of WWE has, I think John Cena turning heel feels like short-sighted, that it was more shock and awe than it was of substance. And now we're seeing that because The Rock voluntarily choosing not to be part of the main event of WrestleMania night two. Why did you even fucking insert yourself? And for all those people that said that it was absolute cinema for John Cena turning heel at fucking Elimination Chamber, that was all horseshit.
Yeah.
Now we know for sure that heel turn for Hulk Hogan is still the pinnacle of heel turns. And this thing doesn't even compare to that.
It's not even in the top five. It's not even in the top 10 fucking heel turns.
It's
not even close.
Yeah.
It doesn't rate even being ranked in any list of any number at all. It's hot garbage. And this is and you got like Triple H comes out and talks shit about people on the internet like us talking about wrestling, right? Well, listen, Triple H, yeah, you've been in the business for 30 years. Well, I've been watching wrestling for 30 fucking years. So sure, I may not be hip to like how it works in the back or have all the details of how everything works, but I know what's good. I know what is entertaining, and I know what I enjoy. And I think I have to say that I could probably speak on most wrestling fans of my age and ilk that have watched for as long as I have. I can probably tell you what we are going to enjoy and what we're not going to enjoy.
Plus, you pay to have an opinion. Like, you pay for the entertainment that they provide, right? So
right.
It's like you kind of have I don't know if it's a right to say, if it's the appropriate phrase, but I think it is a right, because you pay for this entertainment. Why can't you have an opinion on it? Or why couldn't anybody have an opinion that's contrary to positive review or something like that?
And now that I'm looking back on it, I think that European tour is what ruined wrestling right now, because Triple H made a comment about, well, why are we going to listen to these assholes on the internet? Let's listen to what's going on in the arenas of the fans, right? Okay, the American arenas are dead. That's just a fact. They're dead. They don't give a fuck about what's happening. Yes, the European arenas hyped up all your shitty storylines because they were just so fucking excited to be able to see WWE live.
For the first time, or the only time that they'll ever see it. Actually, that's not true. I think they're definitely opening themselves up to doing it more often. And it's very likely that they're going to have the big four eventually in Europe.
Yeah.
And I even think WrestleMania is going to be in Saudi Arabia at one point, and I think in Europe as well.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what is changing in the they're listening to the fans that are like, they will cheer whatever bullshit you roll out because they're just so excited to get to watch wrestling live. The American fans, I feel like it's been opened up, and it's not, I'm not trying to gatekeep or nothing, but I do feel like all these, as we've talked about, the social media influencers, all the rappers, all the fucking dickheads that haven't been associated with wrestling that are now being pulled in to bring new eyes on, I feel like those people don't get wrestling, and they're not excited about it. And I don't think people should be left out. If you want to watch wrestling, that's cool. But if you want to be a wrestling fan, be a fucking wrestling fan. Don't be, you can't be like a fucking, you can't just dip your toe in it, all right? And stick around. Keep dipping your toe in it. No, dip your toe, and if it's not for you, it's not for you. Fuck off. But that's why I think most of these dead crowds are coming from is because, A, wrestling has gotten to the point where it's too expensive.
Yep.
And it's like UFC. UFC is very expensive, and the only people that are going essentially are rich people. And the reason why they're cheering or doing anything is because those guys are beating the fuck out of each other. And if you'll notice, it's dead the majority of the time, except for when you get close to a finish, and then people start coming alive. Wrestling fans have kind of turned into that. And it's not even necessarily that big when it comes to getting a finish on certain matches. People just aren't into it.
I think also crowds have changed to the point that people used to sit and watch and enjoy things without a camera in hand to record moments. Because I think everybody's doing it for clout too. I don't think that's good because There's not people in the audience that are strictly enjoying wrestling for the moments to be experienced, to be involved and to clap and cheer and do all the stupid chants. Everybody's pulling out their phone or people like Gen Z, they're not that audience that we were like in previous years where we're excited to see shit. We're cheering. We're people are more reserved for some reason. I don't know why they're reserved. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't Japan. Where people they sit quietly
and then they pull out their phones.
Yeah. I think that has partially ruined the experience of wrestling. Like when we went to that live show. Yeah. Listen, I pulled out my phone a couple times, take a couple pictures, fucking maybe take one video. But like I didn't post any of that shit.
Oh, fuck no.
I mean, went and enjoyed the show.
The only video I recorded was CM Punk's entrance.
Yeah.
And then everything else we enjoyed, just wrestling as it was.
And it was awesome. And it was fun. And I don't think we get that anymore. Like that doesn't really exist. Most people that go to wrestling are doing it, like you said, for the clout.
Yeah.
Which is fucking strange to say, considering how wrestling has been a fringe thing since I can even remember.
Yeah, I think it's probably been carny shit up until like the late 90s.
Yeah.
Probably early 2000s. And then it went full gear probably in like the mid 2010s to now, basically. Dude. I think they've been more receptive to European crowds because it feels like they're starting again with wrestling, like the popularity of WWE in the 90s. They get to do that again with Europe.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely why they're being receptive to them. And while they'll probably get one of the big four. And then in terms of have we talked about the future of wrestling? I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit,
but no, we haven't really gotten deep into it yet.
All right, I have a personal theory.
Yeah.
And you kind of talked about it with Karrion Kross and saying that with wrestlers, I think they're going to end up taking the backseat and we will see more influencers, people that have audiences, converting themselves into being wrestlers because it's not about whether somebody can do, a fucking a lariat or some shit or all the technical moves that are involved in wrestling, they're going to see somebody, whether it's Triple H or somebody else, they're going to look at somebody on social media and say, hey, this guy has a million followers. He already works out. I think we can use him to build him out to be a wrestler because he has the charisma. He already has a following. All we need to do is just bring him in and turn him into one of the talents or whatever. And I don't think this is anything new because the WWE has already done this to begin with. And that's with celebrities being involved. They're kind of like culture cultivators where they'll take
the mainstream culture and then place like Jelly Roll or whoever within the pay-per-views. That's something that's been ongoing, and that's obviously to draw mainstream interest into. And I think that's kind of like fucking lame. I think celebrities that enjoy wrestling should be there. And when they get the spotlight, it's because they're there because they're fans, right? But when it comes to like the wrestlers, I think the prototypes for what will eventually come are like Kurt Angle, fucking Goldberg, and Brock Lesnar, football athletes or collegiate athletes in wrestling, people that have already had careers. They're basically taking skill sets that more or less work for wrestling and the body figure that they have, like they can adapt that for wrestling. And we're going to get that with social media. I think we're going to get those stars out of social media, and maybe not so much people that have been working towards being a wrestler within indie circuits for like 10 plus years. Oh man, it's like you might as well be an internet personality first than be a wrestler. And the people that are actually fucking wrestlers are going to be grinding and competing against these guys. I think they're fucked.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to say, too, I think that this is just another example of cyclical storytelling in wrestling, because if we look at like the 80s, when WrestleMania got started, that they brought in celebrities and inserted them into storylines and inserted them into matches to, I mean, you had Mr. T fucking coming in wrestling, right? At WrestleMania, at the first WrestleMania tag team match between Hogan and what's his name? Mr. T versus Piper and fucking, I don't remember who the fucking partner was, but you had that as like a deal. And then it kind of goes away for a little bit. And then in like the late 90s, we get it again. You get them bringing in Mike Tyson and putting him in as a fucking referee. You get WCW pulling in Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman and putting them in a tag team match with Hogan and fucking Piper. Like you get that aspect. And then you get, eventually it turns into David Arquette becomes the World Heavyweight Champion.
That's where it becomes problematic. Well, and, I mean, everything leading up to that is problematic.
Yeah. And that's where I think this is headed.
Yeah.
I think in the next 5 years, we will get to see, I think they're going to be like, you know what? We had that speed fella in the Royal Rumble last year. Why don't we let him win it this year? What would happen if he wins it? Mm. I'll tell you what would happen if he wins it. That makes the Royal Rumble mean absolutely fucking nothing.
I think that turns the locker room against the company, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that shit that Karrion Kross was said in that promo about social media stars and them just waltzing in and us doing the job for them, that's horseshit. That is absolute horseshit. And I agree with him 100% on everything that he fucking said. Mm. And Logan Paul may be the fucking anomaly, because at least Logan Paul has fucking done the work to learn kind of how to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And he's been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think him coming into the company as a social media star, that's the only reason they put him in. But then it turned out, oh, hey, he actually can kind of do a couple things. Sure. Logan Paul's not a great technical wrestler. He's good for a couple of high spots and that's about it. And he can come and he brought his fucking fan base or whatever. Sure. If he wrestles against somebody like AJ Styles or fucking whoever, someone who can carry the match. That match between Cody Rhodes and fucking Logan Paul for the belt, that match was hot garbage, because quite frankly neither of them can wrestle. And as I said when we talked about it, Logan Paul was not a good fit for that match because he needs someone that can carry him. He did his couple of good high spots and he gave us a couple cool little moments, but the match itself overall was terrible.
I think that's where matches will suffer if they incorporate social media people, is that two wrestlers can call a match on the spot as opposed to a social media person and a proper wrestler. They're going to have to prep that match like months in advance and they're going to have to rehearse that in the ring.
And the social media guy's still going to fuck it up somehow.
Yeah. And I think having two proper wrestlers, oh man, they're going to be able to do shit on the fly, no fucking problem. But
I do think it would be semi interesting if they took the storyline of, if they ran with the storyline that Karrion Kross has now started with social media influencers versus actual wrestlers. And if you create kind of a faction with your Logan Pauls, and like, you're going to have a couple of legit wrestlers on that thing to make it kind of push forward. But if you get a faction of like influencers, and then this faction of like real wrestlers, maybe throw Chad Gable in there because he is a real fucking wrestler, you know, and you throw in a couple guys, Karrion Kross, maybe a couple other guys, you could have some good storylines. You do need some actual wrestlers on the other side. You throw in a couple of betrayals here and there. I mean, you could do a good, decent storyline out of it. But I think that eventually in the end, the influencers are going to take over the business. That's kind of how I think it's going to be.
And I think that also makes for worse storytelling, because what if we have more interactions like where Jelly Roll is provoked by some heel wrestler, like he gets antagonized by a heel wrestler, and then the next pay-per-view, he does some type of match where it's like a squash match, and that heel wrestler gets, he's a jobber, like he ends up being a jobber.
Yeah.
But it, what if we get like short-term storytelling like that, where it's like celebrities getting, you know, matches within pay-per-views, and that becomes like half the fucking
card. Yeah.
Yeah. Half the bill, or like short. I think it's just going to, it's going to make for short-term storytelling, and we won't get the things that were invested in for like 3 or 4 fucking years.
Yeah, well, look what we got leading up to WrestleMania. We got CM Punk and fucking, we got Bert Kreischer coming out of the fucking audience, fucking taking his shirt off and punching fucking Seth Rollins or whoever the fuck he punched. Like, look, this is the beginning of it. Oh, this is because Netflix needs to push Bert Kreischer's new fucking thing, or the Tony Hinchcliffe fucking roast of WrestleMania at the end, right? Oh, because Netflix needs to push Tony Hinchcliffe's show on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Yeah, Paul Heyman, I don't think Paul Heyman liked it either, and he started causing problems, and he's continued to cause problems.
Yeah.
I think that's real. I think Paul Heyman is not happy, like us, that this shit's going on, because it's ruining wrestling.
It is.
And I think that this is going to be a fucking hot-ass storyline with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins and this new faction that they're putting together. And I think we're going to get to hear a lot of interesting, cool stuff. And again, when Paul Heyman comes on Pat McAfee and starts talking shit about everybody and start shit with people that are not okay, fluffy, like the comedian. Yeah, sure. Like you enjoy wrestling as a fan, then just enjoy it as a fan. You don't need to insert yourself into shit and like be in the storyline.
Oh, man. He's got a new Netflix special.
Yeah. So we got to put, Netflix wants to pump it, and that's what you get.
Yeah. I do not like that, 'cause that's something they've been doing on Raw. Well, where they'll plug all that shit, and it's like, dude, is this whole fucking show like a promo for other shit, or are we here to watch wrestling?
Yeah. I would also like to make a prediction that I think that when the new season of Stranger Things comes out,
Joe Keery,
I think Joe Keery is going to be on, he's going to come out with Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
'Cause it's like, say his name, and it's going to be like some weird shit like that. Yeah. And then they're also going to feature his band somehow in all of this. He's going to shoehorn that in there.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like that's coming.
Yeah. My personal prediction about the future of wrestling as well is, I think with the way things have been working out with ad space for the ring being converted into product placement and fucking just like everything, and just ads scattered all over the place. And, you know, like maybe I do have a bit of a harsh criticism, but it's something that's already happened. Like within boxing, like, of course, the ring has shit all over it on the mat and everything. But I don't know why I feel like I'm making an exception for, or making it particularly a point of focus for wrestling, because I feel like the ring is something like a sacred or like holy ground that it shouldn't be covered in fucking ads.
I agree.
But again, like boxing has already done it. Should WWE have done it already? I don't know why they put it off so long, but it, you know, I don't know how I feel about it now, but I fucking hate it. I do hate it, but at the same token, it's like it's already happened in boxing. Like it's kind of maybe expected at this point that WWE was going to do it. I think the future of wrestling is going to entail the garments of it already kind of happened with Drew McIntyre, but I think we're going to see Brock Lesnar type of shit where his shorts will have Jimmy John's and fuck Jey Uso, or LA Knight's going to have Slim Jim on his fucking his ring attire.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to see more of that per wrestler.
Yeah, definitely. I think for sure that's definitely coming. And I also don't like with the celebrity shit, because they're making it harder for us to get to go. But like, okay, you got these fuckers from Boy Meets World on this fucking podcast that they have.
Boy Meets World?
Yeah, like the chick and then like these two other dickheads that were on that show. They made some podcast.
Okay.
And like, they don't even, they're like not, they don't even know shit about wrestling. And somehow They showed up at one thing, and now guess what? They all got, they all went to WrestleMania and fucking got to go behind the scenes and do all this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, man. Like, you guys don't even like wrestling. Like, she was literally trying to explain to them her shitty version of what she thinks wrestling is and what WrestleMania is. And them two were kind of like, oh, yay, it's sports ball. Like, I was like, shut the fuck up. I just want to stab you all.
You're talking about Topanga?
Yes, Topanga and like the other two dickheads from the
Corey,
show. No, not him. The guy who was his best friend and then his older brother.
Okay.
Like, them
okay,
two yeah, are yeah. on this. Them three have this podcast. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, dude, shut the fuck up, man. Just shut the fuck up. Stop co-opting the things that I like for your fucking, you don't know anything about this shit. And I'm sorry. It's too late for you to get into wrestling. I'm going to gatekeep that shit from celebrities. I think we should gatekeep wrestling from celebrities and influencers. Yeah. That's who it should be gatekept from. I don't like, and fuck you, Tony Khan. You also are guilty of this shit. You brought in the Costco guys and put them in a fucking match with the Rizzle. You had the Rizzler and fucking the other guy, the steroid guy. Fucking, you had them in a match. You put them in a match, and then they went over? They fucking went over? Yeah. Oh, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, God, I hate this so much.
Yeah, I think, you got more?
Yeah, I also have another theory on the future of wrestling.
Okay.
And even though I just told Tony Khan fuck himself, I think Tony Khan is going to eventually own all of wrestling.
He's
going to
con the wrestling world?
Yeah, I think that's what's happening, because I think that TKO is going to get rid of WWE in the next 5 to 10 years.
I think once they double their money after the money that they invested within the company and also UFC, they're going to sell one of them, and it's probably going to be WWE.
Yeah, it's one, because UFC will always make them money because of gambling and all this shit.
Mm.
I do believe that WWE is going to eventually start losing them money. And once they've made their money back and WWE starts losing money,
mm-hmm.
that's when they're going to say, all right, we need to get rid of this thing.
Yeah.
And that's when, because they already own AAA, they're likely already owning or going to soon imminently own TNA. Tony Khan owns Ring of Honor. He owns, obviously, AEW. The only thing that will be left is for them to sell it for pennies on the dollar. And Tony Khan will buy it because he's a fucking multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
And he could afford it. And if he does that, genius. He just stayed in his lane, didn't fuck with nobody. He just stayed over here and kept blowing money mm. until then he will buy the largest wrestling conglomerate and he will own it all.
Yeah.
And the only competition he'll have is essentially New Japan.
Yeah.
And which, I think he'll probably buy that too eventually.
Yeah, I think with the way things have played out with trying to make the most money per second with ads and all that shit, within the programming and also within the ring itself and pretty much everywhere, I think TKO is trying to make as much money back as possible. And I think them moving a WrestleMania to Saudi Arabia because of the fact that they've featured them on, like, they featured people from Saudi Arabia on the programming as if we give a shit. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, it's going to happen. They're going to have a WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia because of the fact that they'll pay heaps of money.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes them to get back to zero and also get over and get into, you know, bigger profits or whatever for that whole turnaround. Yeah, I think they'll eventually flip the company, sell it off, and potentially, yeah, you might be right. Maybe we'll see WWE end up being a company that is sold because they fucking leached everything out of it. And considering how many ads they've been putting everywhere, that could happen very quickly.
Yeah, or the long con and old Vincey boy buys it back from them. That would be hilarious.
Dude, that would be fucking... Yeah, that would be hilarious because not only did he get shares of TKO to sell off and sell basically probably at the highest point of the company... Yeah. But to see WWE possibly fucking just go away from TKO to be sold off by TKO and then buy it back for less than what it was worth.
Yeah.
Fucking, that would be fucking hilarious.
Baller move.
Yeah.
Baller move. So anyway, I don't know. I think that's it. You got anything else to add?
No, I think one of the bright spots, if there's anything to be said for future wrestling, I think they've got the right lane for Bron Breakker to have grudge matches against
different wrestlers and shit. Yeah. Like, this was definitely necessary, because if he would have been thrusted into the main event title, any main event title, it would have been way too soon. And I even feel like Tiffany Stratton got pushed way too quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think her match with Charlotte. Well, I think she also kind of got done dirty. But man, for her to be world champion within a year, that's way too fucking quick. Like, I think the reason that it hasn't hit the way it has is because we haven't had those moments where, yeah, I mean, remember when Batista turned against Triple H, dude, yeah, in Evolution?
Yeah.
Like, that was years in the making. Like, that was, you know, from the start of Evolution, working their way up towards, like, the eventual breakup of the group. Like, that was years of storytelling. And then he became champ, like, world champion.
Yeah.
That's after the fact that it took numerous years. So, like, we need moments like that for people to become... Kofi Kingston being champion, like, he only got it once, but like, people were invested because of how well the New Day were doing and winning tag titles and all that, yeah, shit. And then eventually Kofi Kingston winning the World Heavyweight Championship, and also fucking what's his name, Big E. Like, that's, yeah, that we need those moments, dude. And I don't know if we're gonna get those.
Well, I think that's where they're gonna go with this I think Seth Rollins is gonna get a good title run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Bron Breakker is going to be the beneficiary at the end, because there's going to be some betrayal at the end of this year or two storyline that they're, mm-hmm, going to do. And that's when Bron Breakker is going to move up.
I have another prediction.
All right.
So I think we're basically getting a tease of CM Punk and Roman Reigns being a tag team eventually.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get CM Punk and Roman Reigns versus Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get introduced to the new members within that tag match for whatever PLE that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have the Randy Orton character, like, yeah, the Randy Orton archetype, the new face
that's within
the
stable. Out, yeah.
They'll come out and whoop their ass. Like, I think that's what we're getting.
Yeah, yeah. And that very well may happen at Backlash.
Backlash? Yeah, I admit. I think it's possible. Yeah.
I think that's pretty possible, I feel like. So that'll be the co-main event, or whatever they're gonna call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get we'll get John Cena versus Randy Orton for the 97th time.
Ugh, dude, I can't wait for the World Heavyweight Championship to end up back at the it's gonna be in the dark match again. Yeah. Like, it's gonna be in the opening fucking match. They continue to sully that fucking title.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, so sad.
Many such cases.
Anyways, all right, you got anything else?
No.
All right, well, that'll do it for us. If you disagree with us, then that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. And, I mean, go fuck yourself.
Suck my balls.
Yeah. All right, let's catch you guys on the next one.
That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.